Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah. Okay.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Hello, everyone, and welcome back to the Lolly Carter Steelers podcast here on DK, PittsburghSports.com's podcast network. I'm Chris Carter here with Dale Lolly. It's the weekend. Minicamp is done. The Steelers are in the wind there. They're going on vacation. They're doing whatever they can before they got to report to training camp in St. Vincent College, what we think might be St. Vincent College in late July. Dale, first of all, what kind of sigh of relief do you get at this part of the year just when you're kind of like, okay, well, at least you know that there's not going to be any events that you have to cover for at least a month?
None, because if I do have to cover stuff at this point, that means something bad happened. So, yeah, no, there's no relaxing or anything. You just kind of wait and see.
Yeah, that is the nature of the beast. And we get to create content without anything new happening for a month. Yay. But still, coming out of mini camp, you know, it's football in shorts. It doesn't weigh into the season nearly as much as many people will make it seem. But a few things to glean from what happened at mini camp and what people were talking about. Dale, there were a lot of Steelers who spoke positively about Dwayne Haskins. Now, I do realize this is because people kept asking about Dwayne Haskins, but it did seem like there were at least, you know, like everyone seemed very good to very happy to have him on the team and things like that. I keep kind of telling people like, yeah, it wasn't a bad thing to sign him in the first place because it cost them, you know, next to nothing, but it's also not a guarantee that he's your future or anything like that. It's just, hey, you got another arm going into camp. This is a reclamation project. The Steelers have had a couple reclamation projects, not at quarterback, but at other positions who have been first round picks and have become role players. What's your take just kind of hearing how, like, you know, Tomlin's like, I'm getting to know the guy, and then the different comments we heard all through minicamp about what Dwayne Haskins was doing?
Yeah, I mean, it's just there's nothing to lose here. I know some people were questioning me on our message board saying, well, Dale, you said that you weren't in favor of the Steelers going out and getting Dwayne Haskins when he was on the trade market.
Right.
I was not in favor of them trading picks to go get Dwayne Haskins. They didn't need to. I still am not sold on him as a player. I didn't love him coming out of school. You know, you prefer your quarterback in these day in this time age to be a little more mobile. And that's not his strong point, but he has a big arm. You know, you worry about, you know, some of the decision-making, but he was a good decision maker in college. Only threw 8 interceptions his last year at Ohio State. Some of that was because he was playing with guys who were way better than everybody else they were playing against. I'm just taking a wait and see attitude here, as the Steelers are. You know, he has to make the roster first. These people who are penciling him in, yeah, oh, he's going to be the number two ahead of Mason Rudolph. Tap the brakes there, Chief. He's going to make the roster first.
He's got to beat Josh Dobbs before he beats Mason Rudolph.
Now, I think he will beat Josh Dobbs out for that number three spot, but it could come down to, you know, a situation where they look at it and say, you know, Dobbs helps the team more during the season. You know what I mean? You know, Dobbs can simulate, Lamar Jackson and things of that nature. You know, that your third quarterback sometimes is a guy who gives you the best opportunity for practice. So it's all going to be interesting. We'll see. There's a lot to play out here. You know, they're going to be four preseason games. These guys are all going to get a shot to show what they can do. But Mason Rudolph is going to be the number two quarterback for the Pittsburgh Steelers this year. And it's going to be Josh Dobbs or Dwayne Haskins as the number three. To suggest that Haskins is somehow going to surpass Rudolph and be number two, I just don't see that happening.
Yeah, the things that Dwayne Haskins, because like, yeah, he does have a big arm on him, which is good for, you know, a young quarterback. But a lot of the things that he's going to have to work his way through are just the fundamentals, you know, working the footwork, making sure that he's following through with his feet and doing the things that he needs to do professionally to, you know, perfect his throwing motion and everything that goes into his throwing motion. But also what he needs to do mentally at quarterback, you know, understanding what defenses are doing, understanding what your offense is and what your reads are and where you go and how to respond to different looks and to how to respond when the defense shows one thing at the start of a play and switches to another. That's something that, you know, I had kind of down as a note when he was in his draft class, was that if the defense shows cover one and he gets the matchup he wants, yes, he looks great and he can fire a pass in when he knows what it is. But in the NFL, you rarely get just straight up, you know, preset looks where like, oh, that's definitely what's going to be there. So many teams have made it their purpose on defense to show one look and switch to another. And that was something that he struggled with at Ohio State. That's something he still struggled with when he was with Washington. Does he get the chance to fix himself in Pittsburgh? Yeah, sure. This is the organization has more stability. He's got a longtime coach in Mike Tomlin. He's got an organization that, you know, that generally supports its players, and a lot of their players, you know, coming out of it, say that was a great family environment to be in. So he has the opportunity to grow here. It just doesn't guarantee that he's going to be taking Mason Rudolph's spot. And Dale, you wrote a whole piece about comparing Mason Rudolph's hit, you know, first, what, nine starts compared to all the other quarterbacks who were drafted in the first round that year. And he grades out pretty well compared to those guys.
Yeah. I mean, really, when you look at it, the only area where he was in the bottom part of that draft class is rushing yards. So you have some of the same issues there with Mason Rudolph that you have with Dwayne Haskins, in that, you know, neither one of them is going to get you a bunch of rushing yards or anything like that. And honestly, if the, you know, in today's NFL, you're looking for that kind of quarterback. Maybe, you know, it doesn't have to be Lamar Jackson. It doesn't have to be right. Josh Allen,
no.
But they do have to have some running ability. You know, it just gives defenses something extra to prepare for. You know, I just think that, you know, when you look at Rudolph, you know, the progression that he's made, can Haskins make that same progression in his third year? He didn't get the opportunity in Washington. And let's face it, Washington was not a good situation,
no.
You know, for a guy who's from that area, you know, and is a first round draft pick, you know, it may have been a case of being too much too soon for him. He may not have been, you know, emotionally ready to handle being the guy. Well, he didn't have to be the guy here. He can sit and learn this year, and we'll see what happens with him. But Rudolph's going to be number two. We'll see what happens with number three.
Yeah, we'll see what goes on there. And again, a big part of what Josh Dobbs does is being Ben Roethlisberger's best buddy, you know, being on the sideline, helping him out, you know, as soon as he comes off the field, when it's time to talk about, hey, what happened on that play? What'd you see? And, you know, he can give him some backup with the clipboard. And that's something that, you know, if Dwayne Haskins can embrace a role where he's helping understand the team more, that could go a long ways to him, you know, keeping a job with the Steelers. Even if he doesn't win the number two spot this year, if he's the number three quarterback and they're like, you know what, we liked what you brought. And even if Ben Roethlisberger retires next year and they go draft a guy, or Mason Rudolph becomes the starting quarterback or whatever happens, if he can prove himself valuable to the Steelers, that can go a long way to him fixing his NFL career. Because let's face it, it wasn't going too great when he got cut by Washington. So there's a lot of those challenges he's going to have to embrace, but it's going to be about consistently showing up, doing it every day, and showing the Steelers that he can be consistent in showing up and preparing and giving his best. It's not going to be about if he hits a couple passes in training camp, because I guarantee you this, Dale, we'll be at St. Vincent College this year. He'll hit a bomb to Chase Claypool or some, you know, a backup receiver that people are going to see, and then everyone's going to tweet it out, and, you know, there's going to be video of it, and people are going to be like, look, Dwayne Haskins, he's the guy. But then it's going to, if he doesn't bring that kind of, you know, the kind of preparation they need of an NFL quarterback every day, that one pass is not going to be anywhere near enough for him to move up the depth chart for the Steelers. And the Steelers know that, and he has to know that. It's going to take time and patience to evaluate where he's going.
Yeah. I mean, I think too many people get caught up. Who's the two, who's the three. The only difference is the two is going to be active on game days. And you know, right now with Dwayne Haskins, you know, let him crawl before he walks.
Right.
Or runs. You know, let this thing play out. We'll see what happens.
We'll see what happens. But you'll see what happens too, because we're going to take a quick break. When we come back, I want to get some more thoughts on who we're seeing on the defensive side of the ball from Dale. We'll talk about that right after this. Back here on the Lolly Carter Steelers podcast, here on DKPittsburghSports.com's podcast network. Remember, you can subscribe to this network anywhere podcasts are hosted, but especially Apple, Spotify, Google Podcasts. So subscribe to us, rate us 5 stars, leave us positive comments. All those things really help out the show and the network as a whole. Now, Dale, talking defense, there's been we've got to see a little bit of just what the sidelines were like and what the, you know, what guys were doing when they were hanging around. There's still a sense of, to at least to me, you know, who's going to be stepping up and becoming some of the focal points of the defense, at least, you know, in the locker room, who's going to be the louder voices. I really see this year as an opportunity for Minka Fitzpatrick and a few more guys in the defense that are younger to start taking the mantle and start stepping up and being more like the guys that the team rallies around, not just with their style of play and not just what they do on the field, but being the guy that the huddle is around, running the conversations. You know, Joe Hayden, when I watch him in training camp, oftentimes when the DBs are hanging out, he's the guy leading the conversation. Everyone's circling around and he's telling the jokes and you know, maintaining that culture there. And Cam Hayward does that a lot for the defense as well. But there's plenty of young guys that need to step up this year. I mean, Minka's been stepping up, but Cam Sutton's going to get a bigger role in defense. Does Devin Bush take that step? What are your thoughts on just how you've interacted with some of these guys and the personalities that they have that could turn into being those guys that sort of carry the torch of Steelers leadership on the defense?
Well, Chris, it's tough to say because I haven't interacted with any of them on a personal level
in well over
a year. You know, I honestly, people grow, you know, over the course of a season. Guys who, you know, again, I haven't even been in that locker room in over a year.
Yeah.
To even see what the dynamics are like. But certainly a guy like Minka Fitzpatrick, who's a great football player, you know, the expectation is that he would grow into more of a leadership role. He's in his third year with the team. So you'd expect that. TJ Watt talked about it last year in his third year, how that was one of the things that he wanted to do. He wanted to become more of a leader in that locker room. So, you know, those are just the kind of things that happen kind of organically within an organization. You know, Cam Hayward early in his career, you know, I can remember Cam's first training camp in 2011, and they didn't have an off season that year. There were no, because of the lockout. And Cam, I think, fought every offensive lineman on the team at one point or another in that first training camp because they didn't have any, there was none of the stuff that we just got done with the OTAs and mini camp. A big part of what they do in those sessions is teach the young guys practice etiquette and how they practice. And so Cam comes in there, you know, a ball of fire, and quite frankly was pissing guys off, you know, and so they were going after, hey, this rookie's not going to push me around or I'm not going to take that from this guy. And
right.
So you end up, you know, in some fights, which is what you don't want to happen. You don't want your guys getting hurt fighting each other in training camp. And so, you know, some of the veteran guys talk to him and, hey, calm it down there, Rook. And, you know, you see the kind of leader he's grown into. So it's all organic. It kind of grows. Some guys can handle it more quickly than others. But I'm not concerned about leadership on this team at all. I mean, I think they do a good job of selecting guys with high football character. guys who love the game, guys who enjoy the game, guys who enjoy being around each other. So the leadership part of that will come all on its own.
It certainly seems like they've found a lot of guys who do, you know, love the game of football. You know, Devin Bush comes off with that kind of attitude. Again, we ain't been in the locker room, but just knowing how we've heard him talk about the game, how he studied the game, how he's approached the game. I mean, you were there for his rookie camp when he did come out. I mean, and like they were like, wow, this kid's already like knowing the defense and embracing his role in it. Those type of things can be kind of gleaned from there. But you're right, we haven't, you know, been with these guys in person in a year and a half, 2 years. Jeez, it's tough to think about that. You know, just how long that stretch of time is. And even when that was the 2019 season, Devin Bush's rookie season, when they didn't have Ben Roethlisberger, and it was just a completely different team that year. But still, you know, like you said, the Steelers have the foundation in place for leaders to step up, for the culture to kind of exist there. And it's not about someone necessarily creating it. It's about seeing guys like Cam Hayward, seeing guys like Joe Hayden, seeing the guys that have been around for quite some time, you know, like Ben Roethlisberger, and being like, hey, those are the guys that have set the tone for, you know, the past decade or however long that they've been here. And that's what we have to live up to as players in this locker room that want to stick around. That's a lot easier to do than when, you know, some teams you need to establish that kind of culture because it hasn't been there for whatever reason, whether they have a new coach, whether they just have stunk for a long time. Those are the benefits there. And it does make it easier for people to step into leadership roles. And it doesn't even have to be like, you know, the guy in the middle of the huddle, like Joey Porter yelling at everybody. It can just be simply you're setting the example for everyone else. Like, you know, Cam Sutton's a guy who I think can be a leader like that, where he may not be the guy that's leading the conversation, but he's the guy that sets the tone, and younger players, they want to make the roster. They should work to be like Cam Sutton, who found a way to fit into several parts of the defense.
Yeah, it's something that can't be forced. I think, again, I think those kind of things happen organically. You know, I think if you try to force the issue on that and try to act like a leader before your time, right, you know, it could blow up in your face. You know, so those things develop. You know, Troy Polamalu wasn't a team captain until his final year with the Steelers. You know, so you just kind of have to let it happen. I think that's one of the things when you look at what happened, we talked about Dwayne Haskins in the previous segment. A lot of time young quarterbacks get thrust into that leadership role before they're ever ready for it. And you know, the expectation is, well, he's your quarterback, he's one of your leaders. That's not always a good thing. You know, that's why it was so unique when the Steelers got Ben Roethlisberger, that he wasn't forced to be, you know, the most outspoken guy on the offense. They had Jerome Bettis, they had Alan Faneca there, guys of that nature, Hines Ward. You know, so you know, it allowed Ben to just be one of the guys instead of being the guy. It's always about, you know, one of the things you want to do with a young quarterback is build a nest around him, a nest in which that will help him be successful. You know, good wide receivers, a good running game, you know, solid offensive line, those kind of things, a good defense. That's why I'm not really concerned about the next step for the Steelers, because they have a lot of those pieces in place. Now you just have to find the quarterback, whether it be somebody who's already on the roster or whether it be, you know, somebody in the draft. You know, that's one of the biggest problems that young quarterbacks have, is that typically they're going to a pretty crappy team. You know, they go into a team that just wasn't very good. That's how they earned that spot. Two of the guys, actually, if you look at the three young quarterbacks in recent years who've had the most success, that being Lamar Jackson, Patrick Mahomes, and Josh Allen, they went to teams that weren't bad.
Yeah, and they went in the middle. Well, Josh Allen went a little bit, but like Mahomes,
the Bills traded up to get him.
Right, that's true. They did trade up.
The Chiefs traded up to get Mahomes.
Yep.
You know,
Lamar Jackson taking in the back end of the first round.
Yeah, Lamar Jackson was the final pick of the first round. So those guys were going to teams that had talent that they could lean on. Whereas you look at a guy like a Sam Darnold, or, you know, or any of these young guys that come in and fail right away or early in their careers, they just don't have that nest around them. And so they're thrust into that role. Not only the playing, just think of it, playing quarterback in the NFL is tough enough as it is on its own. but then you're forced to be a leader because, well, you're the quarterback, you know? And so a lot of times guys fail at that. That's kind of what happened with Haskins in Washington. I mean, he's thrust into, again, you're the star. You're going back to your hometown. The expectations are greater on you than they would be had he gone to, you know, play for the Chargers or something like that. Yeah, there would have been, there still would have been pressure, but not that hometown pressure. You know, right. So you get, you know, leadership's a funny thing. You have to let it kind of, you know, marinate a little bit. You can't just thrust somebody into that role. TJ Watt's been a tremendous player for the Steelers since day one.
Mm-hmm.
But it wasn't until last year where he really, took on more of that leadership role. It just has to kind of develop organically.
No, I agree. I agree. But again, when you have the organization that has leadership, that has, you know, a good foundation.
Stability.
Stability. Yeah. Exactly. And that allows for that natural organic growth into a leader. And also, I think it behooves yourself to pick from programs that know how to develop those leaders. Minkah Fitzpatrick, one of those guys from Alabama, he hasn't tried to be too outspoken, but he's made plays, and now it's getting to the point where he can lead. In fact, one of the first questions of Najee Harris was about leadership when the Steelers drafted him, and he said, listen, I got to learn how to make plays and be good in this offense before I even try to be a leader. You know,
well, that's one of the things. I mean, you get going into a program like in Alabama where, you know, you go into the locker room or into your meeting room, and you're one of six five-star recruits or whatever it is, you know, there's a pecking order there.
Right.
As opposed to being, and I'm just going to throw this name out there, a guy like Benny Snell. Mm. And this is nothing against Benny Snell, but he was the man from day one.
Right.
At Kentucky. And so he's talking about, we're going to play Benny Snell football and all the, you know, all that stuff. You know, No, you know, veteran players see right through that stuff. Like, look, who are you? You haven't done anything yet in the league.
Right.
Don't come in here talking like that. So, yeah, it's again, it's that organic growth of that really is the most important thing.
That's certainly something that we will continue to see play out. And again, a lot of that comes from being patient, watching, seeing how guys take every single day, every single practice. We will see how more Steelers take on those challenges as this year goes on when they report back to training camp in late July. But we got another month until then, Dale. So we'll be talking about more things here, getting you ready, for that part of when we start seeing the pads go on in late July, right here on the Lolly Carter Steelers podcast. I'm Chris Carter. He's Dale Lolly. Dale, thanks as always for being on the show. We are wrapping up the weekend here. We got more shows coming your way this weekend on DKPittsburghSports.com's podcast network. I got my H2P podcast coming up tomorrow. We're talking about Judah Mintz, the new four-star combo guard recruit out of D.C. that got Jeff Capel landed. You want to hear all the details? First of all, read it on DKPittsburghSports.com. Remember, you can subscribe there. We have 7-day free trials if you want to just check it out if you're not already subscribed. But you can check it out there. And if you want to listen to that podcast, you can do so for free when you subscribe to DKPittsburghSports.com's podcast on Apple, Spotify, or Google Podcasts. Again, Chris Carter, Dale Lolly, thanks for listening. We'll be back in your ears very soon.